Good morning. Can you hear me at the back? Now, I was just telling a few of the sisters here that to try to encourage others who have been attending to come, because if I can come myself, they should be able to come. There used to be about, at one stage it was 100 or 70, something like that. I don't mind if you don't fill up all the seats, but at least make an attempt. It's a good discipline. If I can discipline myself to teach and come, I think they should discipline themselves to come. And they are now coming back to the church now, which is very good. It's a habit you form. Now you see how frail human nature is, how prone to bad habits, shall we say. Okay. Now, before I begin, just let me... I got this track here. It's in English on one side and either Chinese or Tamil on the other side. I got a few of that. You can take a few with you. Say four or five up to you. And then use them. I already got in my pocket here. So that when in the lift, if I see somebody, I just give. Don't take a bunch. You're not going to use them. But take as many as you think you need. And then the other one is the Tamil one, which is a good, if you know you're going to meet with Tamil friends or Tamil taxi drivers or whatever, it's always good. So please help yourself. Alright. Let's get back to our study. We are now coming to the end of the study, almost the end of New Testament people, just as we studied the Old Testament. And today, I was led to do Aquila and Priscilla, this couple. So we will do that. So before we begin, let us bring ourselves to attention before the Lord. Father, we come before you with joy at the end of the week. For that time of fellowship which we know we are going to have together, and before that we know we will worship with one another in church to sing praises to you and to listen to your word there. Thank you for Alvin's testimony this morning. Thank you for his faithfulness in serving you with his family. We ask you continue to bless his sermon throughout the day. It will bring forth fruit of from the people who will learn how to be faithful like he has been. We also pray for that fair which is held on the plaza, that it will draw people into service for the church. Well, no matter what that service is, as long as they know they serve you. And now, Lord, will you not open our eyes and our hearts to what you want to teach us about this couple, Priscilla and Aquila? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Priscilla and Aquila, I'm sure you heard of them already. This is a very devoted couple. And Aquila means eagle. And Priscilla means worthy. So not a bad name for this husband and wife team. And they lived at the time of Paul. And you will find their history of what they do and who they are in the book of Acts. That's why the book of Luke, I told you last week, is so important, because without him, you don't know many of these people, these dear people of the Lord who have been serving him. After the time of Julius Caesar, who was rather easy on the Christians, there came Roman emperors who were more dictatorial, and they expelled the Jews from Rome. And Aquila and Priscilla had to leave Rome, and they made their way to Corinth. And that's where they met with Paul. It was a lovely fellowship and companionship over the years. And Korean at that time was like Singapore. You can look at the map. It's a great commercial center where they begin to do their business of tent makers. And Paul happened to be a tent maker. And so it was a fellow tent maker meeting with another. And they became friends with this, he became friends with this couple. I think Priscilla and Aquila became Christians while they were in Rome, when Paul was with them. So that's a wonderful divine coincidence. Because nothing happens in life, you see, without God's knowing it, and without His direction. They're a very remarkable husband and wife team. You look into scripture, they're always mentioned together. And tent making is their was their occupation. That's why Paul could find a happy place with them, because he was also a tent maker. And their home was always open to others, as I'm going to show you as we do our study today. And they became almost like fellow missionaries with Paul. And they even held church services in their home. And they learned to sit under the teaching of Paul, and together they themselves become somewhat teachers themselves and passing on to others. That's why their names continually appear in the book of Acts and also in some of the Paul's letters. And when Paul went through the dangers that he mentioned in his letters, for example, in Romans 16, verse 3 to 5, he said that they risked their necks for him. That means Priscilla and Aquila risked their necks for him. They probably got into trouble because of him. And you can know from Paul's letter how much Paul suffered. And their friendship and partnership meant a lot for him. And he expressed his thanks to them in his letters, especially to the Romans. Now, if you have this brief survey of this amazing couple, it shows you that there are two people who lived their lives together, intertwined together in their service for the Lord. First of all, they make themselves available. I'm trying to give you a big picture of them. Each time Priscilla and Aquila are mentioned in the Bible, they are either doing something or on their way to a different city and involving themselves in some form of service. You never hear Priscilla and Aquila mentioned for nothing, for no reason at all. For example, in Acts, I'm going to be referring to Acts quite a lot. In Acts chapter 18, in verses 1 to 3, this is what we read. And this refers to that what I mentioned just now, about Paul having left Athens, he went to Corinth. In Athens, he preached a famous message in Acts 17, you know, to those philosophers. And after that, he left Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus. Let me read verse 1 of chapter 18 of Acts. After these events, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth and found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Emperor Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Jerusalem. He came to them, and because he was on the same trade, he stayed with them, and they worked together, for they were tent makers by trade. So that is the first mention of this remarkable couple. Then, in Acts chapter 8, 18, the same chapter, in verse 18 and 19, same chapter 18 and 19, what do we read here? We read these words. Now, Paul, when he had remained many days longer, took leave of the brothers and sisters and sailed away to Syria. And Priscilla and Aquila were with him. See, that is again, now after this time of being in fellowship with Paul and learning from him quite a number of things, you know, Paul is this great preacher and teacher. They were now ready to, they were attracted to his ministry and they felt they wanted to join him in that. Then in the same chapter, chapter 18, verse 24, this is what we read. This is what Paul and his third missionary journey, where Priscilla and Aquila accompanied him. Verse 24, Acts 18. Now a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was proficient in the scriptures. And this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent by spirit, in spirit, he was accurately speaking and teaching things about Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. And he began speaking boldly in the synagogue, that when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained the way of God more accurately to him. So there you are. You're always on the lookout for how to help people, and Apollos was someone they could help, because obviously he was not somebody who was fully aware of the fullness of the gospel. And then now we have come to Romans, Romans chapter 16, chapter 16, this is what we read, in verse 3 to 5, where Paul, writing to the church at Rome, says, greet Prisca and Aquila. That means they were in Rome, and Paul was writing to the Roman church. So that's why he wrote these words. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life. Well, that's a lot to ask for a couple. To whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles also greet the church that is in their house. That means they have a house church. You notice all the dangers they've gone through, they still have a house church. They didn't say, enough is enough. Don't go mix up with this man called Paul. He's a cause of trouble. Every time we go with him, he gets into trouble and we get into trouble as well. So you can see that they are very devoted. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 19, let me now turn to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 19. The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Prisca greet you heartily in the Lord, with the church that is in their house. So again is mentioned the presence of this couple with him, fellow co-laborers in the gospel, and mention again the fact that there was a church in the house. So wherever they went, they had a house, and then they had a church, a house church, almost like a small group meeting, like all you all are having, some of you, in your home. And that is, gives you a picture of this lovely couple. So, what do we learn about this? We learn that they are very hospitable couple. And when Paul first met them, when he went to Corinth, the first verses that I read to you in Acts chapter 18, verse 1 to 5, here they already had a home, and they let Paul stay with them for over a year before Paul moved on. And after that year with Paul, they grew close enough to him, they just followed him. So, and that's where they came to the other cities after they left Corinth. And then when they were home in Ephesus, they again, in Rome. So Corinth, Ephesus, Rome, they had, their homes were always open to the gospel and to the preaching of the gospel and to the fellowship of the church. That's the first thing. They are very hospitable. The other thing about this couple is they are very knowledgeable. You saw and we read just now in Acts chapter 18 how they listened quietly to Apollos. Apollos was a Jew, but not fully instructed in the way of the gospel. And they then instructed him because they knew more than he did. You can only rise so far. You cannot teach somebody who is above you. You can only rise unto a certain level. And they knew that Apollos did not know a lot of things that they knew. So they taught him. And Apollos turned out to be a wonderful preacher. Apollos, the preacher with the silver tongue. He was a very scholarly person. And if you get a person like him, once you get him on, you can't take him off because he will continue to be with the Lord and using his gifts of oratory as well as his knowledge. And then, of course, they are fearless. We know that. So they are hospitable, they are knowledgeable, and they are fearless because being a Christian in those days is very dangerous. We have read how Paul says, there is a next for me. So there was much persecution of the believers by the Roman government. And not only from the Roman government, from the local pagan religious groups who didn't like the inroads that Christianity was making into their movements because many of the pagans were turning to Christ. Paul was an expert in receiving persecution. He attracts persecution like a magnet. And because he had been beaten, he had been stoned, he had been imprisoned, he's been mistreated almost everywhere he went. And I think this couple must have shared some of these things. Otherwise, he wouldn't have mentioned that they risked their necks with me, risked their own necks with me. So the picture we have then of Priscilla and Aquila is that they were tent makers. They shared the trade together. Paul, and they shared the teachings of Christ, and they, although they threatened with persecution, they remained faithful. When I read this, I ask myself, what a couple. What a couple we have here. Constantly on the move from place to place, going to a new place and always opening their homes to those in need. I'm sure they opened their homes to others besides Paul. And they were always ready and willing and able to, at any time, even though it cost them, for being so hospitable. They are an incredible example of what it means to serve the Lord as a couple. There are examples in the Bible of people serving the Lord singly. But this is a couple. That's why I want to bring it up for us. So that we can learn from them. And the lessons we learn from them are very valuable. First of all, to be working together as a couple, it requires that each is growing spiritually. That's important. Because Priscilla and Aquila were learning and growing spiritually, together, under the ministry of Paul. I mention the ministry of Paul because they've been with them 3 years, you know, all the time with him. But they learned together. And when it came time to share with others, they were prepared to give, like as we saw just now, Apollos, a more accurate picture of who Christ was. So whether you are husband or wife, we must be growing in ourselves. And we should encourage our spouse to do the same, growing up together. Because God gave us to each other, so that we can be a greater force together than either of us by ourselves can be. So to work well, you have to be as a team. You must both be growing as individuals. This applies, of course, to small groups in a way, because in small groups, you may be single, but you grow together in the small group, because then you also have friends and close fellowship with others. This does not necessarily apply to only husbands and wives. We can learn lessons from them, but they're applicable to individuals as well. So growing together as husband and wife and speaking to those who are husbands and wives, but it's for all of us. And you notice that you learn to be effective, first of all, in small things. You don't have to be big things. Paul was a big giant compared to them. He stands out in the church. Nobody is like Paul. But then, they are just a couple being hospitable to him. So they started by opening their home to Paul. They didn't need any training on how to show hospitality, do you? You just learn to be open and to serve those who come within our own ambit. It was Paul's instruction and fellowship with them that taught them how to instruct Apollos. If Paul was not with them, they wouldn't have be able to help Apollos, because when they went to listen to Apollos, they listened very quietly. They didn't stop Apollos and say, "Sorry, can I interrupt you?" They just listened quietly, and after they finished, then they took him aside and they instruct him more properly in the way. So start with small things. You can either be helping out in a small group, you can arrange flowers in the church, you can act as ushers, you can sing in the choir, you can look after the sound system, and a lot of things that the church, you can help in small things, then you grow in your faith. You don't have to have a theological degree. As you grow in your faith, then you get better in the understanding of your spiritual gifts. Ah, this is what the Lord I'm good at. Then you may not be, it may not be preaching or teaching. It may be something that you're very good at. It may be passing out tracts. It may be something very, not spectacular, but something which the Lord has given to you. A spiritual gift, so that if you're faithful in little things, you grow up in your capability to do bigger things. The Lord will lead you to bigger things. And the other thing about this couple is that if you are effective, make yourself effective in service and make yourself available, then you have a fuller call to greater service, as I said to you. And I think this couple didn't have any children. You don't have to have children in order to serve the Lord. It is up to you, after the Lord's will for you, to give you a full life of service. So, there are times and seasons when you find yourself sometimes limited by family, sometimes by work, sometimes by obligations. But it's not no excuse not to use your spiritual gifts in some capacity or other to make the best effort, make yourself available to God and watch Him multiply the effects of your service. He will be able to do that. Allow me to give you a biblical understanding of service. According to the scripture, as I understand it, service is expected of the Christian. This is given to us in Ephesians 2:10, if you can look it up. You were created to serve God. Ephesians 2:10. And the service must be undivided. Because the Lord himself said you cannot serve two masters. You either serve the Lord Jesus and be single-minded in your service, you cannot divide yourself into two for that. And then, of course, service must be sacrificial, because as Romans chapter 12, verse 1, the well-known verse, present your bodies an acceptable sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. So this is sacrificial, because your body includes everything that's with you. So it is sacrificial. And of course, service is to benefit others. Since God has given you spiritual gifts to serve his body in the church, in 1 Corinthians, I think the church is doing a study on that, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I won't elaborate on this, but just to let you know, this is what service means when you want to serve the Lord. Now, since it is a couple, and a couple's relationship to each other is quite sensitive, and in the husband and wife relationship, who is to lead and who is not to lead? I now want to just close this short study with a look at the Priscilla's relationship with her husband. Now, as a Jewish wife, Priscilla would be expected to be subject to her husband. And Aquila would be the one who studied God's law, and Priscilla would be just quietly sitting at home. She would be expected to know all the rules governing a kitchen, a kosher kitchen. You know, what is kosher food? What is allowed to a Jew to eat and what is not? Learn the skills of cooking, all that kind of thing. While Aquila sat with the men to learn the law, so to speak. She would learn the law governing the chicken, the kitchen, not the chicken. All the other things, the husband would be, she would be able to defer to him. He says this and you say, yes, sir. That type of thing, you know. And I find that in reading this about Priscilla and Aquila in Acts and the other books in which they're mentioned, normally they would be identified as Mr. Aquila and Priscilla. That would be the normal event, isn't it? The husband's name always first, and then the wife. But here in the New Testament, not only is Priscilla's name mentioned first, but not once, but several times. That's interesting. I'll point out to you as we go along. So, Priscilla's and Aquila in their marriage is portrayed in the Bible. It gives us an insight into the status of women, which is not often mentioned. I hope you'll mention it when we study the Corinthian church, because they tend to overstep their places there and they have to be warned about it. But in their marriage, as portrayed in the scripture here, it tells us that the women's status have been changed without lowering men's status. In other words, they become equal partners in the ministry as well as in life. So that is an interesting part of the relationship, an equality in service. What about Priscilla's relationship with God? Well, as I said just now, as a Jewess, a lady Jew, she had no guarantee of direct access to God. All the priests were men. All the elders were men. But as a Christian, that's a different thing. As a Christian, she not only has immediate access to God through Christ, she also has the privilege of serving Him on an equal basis with Aquila. For example, she was hosting this ministry as a house church, supporting Paul's ministry, teaching and instructing Apollos, we have read just now. All the privileges that she enjoyed as a believer in Christ. And this closeness of a relationship to God, you can gauge by what I said earlier on, because of a commitment that she and the husband has by sharing the gospel message and also moving their business of tent making from place to place to follow Paul. That's their commitment. Some people might not want to do that, but they did, because how will you know that your business will find support in another town? But they wanted to support Paul's ministry. If Paul couldn't make enough money, then their ministry supported Paul. You must remember that. Paul is not always, all the time, making tents. Sometimes he has to stop making tents because he has an extended preaching, a period of preaching. Then he had no time to make tents. Then he had no money. So, this is where this couple came in. And that's interesting, because I want to tell you about something about Priscilla's relationship with Paul. Priscilla and Aquila were close to Paul, and they then share this common heritage, this Jewish heritage, and also the Christian faith. They were both Jews as well as Christians. They never forget that they were Jews. They still go to the synagogue, besides sharing their leather working. So when Paul came to Corinth, he visited them and they stayed in their shop. So this friendship developed between Priscilla and Paul and her husband and Paul. It was very deep and lasting. I don't think Aquila ever got jealous and said, why are you always so friendly with Paul? There was an understanding between them, which is a beautiful one. And they both accompanied Paul when he left Corinth to go to Ephesus. One could imagine in another situation where Priscilla suggested that, let us follow Paul. And Aquila said, why do you always want to follow him? But I don't think anything like that developed. Paul was very blessed by both their fellowship with him. They went from Corinth to Ephesus and onwards to the journey, even to Rome. So Paul not only trained this couple because of this kind of relationship with him, the togetherness, they kept in touch with him while Paul was apart. They wrote letters to each other. And when they're together, he greeted them. Now, I mentioned to you about the precedence of both of them, Priscilla and Aquila, I said it's not always Mr. Aquila and Mrs. Aquila, but it is in one of these passages. I want to show you how interesting the Bible puts it this way. In Acts chapter 18, verse 2, which we had read just now, we read, Aquila with his wife Priscilla. In chapter 18, same chapter, verse 18, we have Priscilla and Aquila. So, in 2, we have Aquila with his wife Priscilla. In 16 verses later, we have Priscilla first, and then Aquila. Then in verse 26, same chapter, Aquila and Priscilla. And you turn to the book of Romans, in chapter 16, verse 3, we have Priscilla and Aquila. Then in 1 Corinthians, chapter 16, verse 19, we have Aquila and Priscilla. And 2 Timothy 4, 19, we have Priscilla or Prisca, which is a shortened form, Priscilla and Aquila. So if you count it here, the three times the wife's name is mentioned first, and three times the husband's name is mentioned first. So that is interesting to compare this when you think about Dr. Luke's account of the missionary team. He had Paul and Barnabas, because when the team set out in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, Luke referred to the team as Barnabas and Paul. But almost immediately, Dr. Luke saw who was actually the one who should be the head. From then onwards, it's always Paul first and then Barnabas. Never Barnabas and then Paul. But not in the case I told you just now, where Priscilla and Aquila were interchangeable. And three times one way and three times the other way. Quite fair, isn't it? So, what I mean to say is that she did not dominate him, but neither did he dominate her. That's the important thing in this husband and wife sharing together. Now, just in closing, about Priscilla and Aquila, Priscilla especially, as an example for today, they both worked together with Paul and earned his respect. Otherwise, he wouldn't have stayed with them. If we want to have a significant role in the church, we need to serve with whoever is in the church today. Oh, I don't like this pastor. That type of thing it doesn't cut with Paul. It doesn't cut with the Bible. We need to serve with the present leaders so that they can know us and recognize our spiritual gifts. That's the first point. They serve with Paul. And secondly, this husband and wife relationship may be difficult sometimes. As I said, husbands tend to, some not all, tend to be overriding, and they don't like to be play second fiddle, as they say. But husband and wife relationship, although it's difficult, but in this case, Priscilla's relationship with Aquila reminds us a very important principle. A partnership is not achieved by bringing a husband down or by lifting a wife up. That's not the way it should work. But because they live together as husband and wife, as in all things, then serving the Lord is a good example here of what a Christian marriage should be and can be, like this, through Christ. Equal before the Lord and serving Him together in the way that the Scripture tells us. Right, we'll stop there today. And I hope you will learn some valuable lessons from this couple. Next week, I will deal with some other people in the Scriptures, a few of them, and then I'll close the study on the people of the Bible, New Testament. Then there's a week in which there is no Bible class. 29. Is there a Bible? There's a Bible class next week. After that, is there one? No 7:30 service. 9:30. So we won't have a Bible class then, because people will be going to the, this is a hymn service, is it? Song service. So we take a break then. So there'll be two more classes, isn't it?
Yes.
So what shall we do? So we have a break then. On the hymn Sunday, we have two more Sundays together. And then after that, we will begin in November. We'll start 1 Timothy. Okay? So pray about that. And I don't know, after 1 Timothy, I want to continue. So please keep that in prayer. Because you want to do 1 Timothy, you want to do 2 Timothy. After 2 Timothy, you do Titus. If the Lord persuades me and said, do 2 Timothy, He usually tells me that, you know, then I will do. But I think I've been doing with you for many years. I think 1 Timothy is like a parting study. So pray about that. Perhaps we can do 2 Timothy, but even 1 Timothy will take us into the new year. The reason is because, first of all, there is I tire quite easily. And the other thing is, I spend 2 or 3 nights a week preparing a study. And sometimes during the day too, when I come back from the office, and I got time, then I open the scripture and I start thinking what to do this weekend. So, and then on Saturday, I firm up the study in the evening. So that's why I don't take on any engagements on Saturday. People ask me out for dinner, I say thank you very much. This been doing one for so many years already, 40 years already. I think that's enough. And it is not that I don't want to do it, it is about time, I think, to stop doing it. But I'm open. It's not that I'm lazy. I feel the strain, but I still delight in teaching God's Word. That's part of my delight. If I don't teach, what do I do myself? See, so I also thought think about that. And I also been telling some of you, my contract with SGH, SigHealth, ends in the 30th of April next year. Whether renew me or not, I do not know. I'm already an emeritus consultant, which is Ah, yes, I can. You can give to me. There are only about 15 or so of us. Then my contract as a chairman of A-Star Ethics Committee ends the month before that, the 31st of April. I beg your pardon. 31st of March. I've been working with that for 7 years already. Cukup. Because I've been chairman of the Ethics Committee of Singhealth for 17 years. And then after they went over here, I took another 5 more years. So whether they continue working or not is something I leave to the Lord. If they employ me again, well, I didn't go to work. But otherwise, the work is very light because I'm just a medical director of the nuclear medicine laboratories, supervising this and that and that and that. So I go there. I'm supposed to work only one session, but I'm there every day from 10 o'clock to about 2 or 3 o'clock. Then I come home and have a rest. But my almost like a second family, all the people there, including the Malay people, and I'm praying for them all the time. They're very affectionate. They hug me and they call me Datuk and all that. And I call them Datin, which embarrasses them because Datin means wife. But sometimes, not to embarrass them, I call them Premaisuri, which means queen. So it's quite fun to be with them. I'm still praying for them. And then some the other people I'm still witnessing. So it's a second family. So please remember in prayer regarding that, because that is, I don't know how many more years I live, but I'll tell you one thing. The Lord is coming soon. And I firmly believe within 2 years, if you are a Christian, you will go to be with Him. You and I all will be with Him. And the tribulation will begin. So please don't have your 10-year plans. Alright? And I don't mean you don't do anything at all. Just quietly saying, okay, since you're coming, I'm not going to do anything. No. Continue to do what you're doing, whether you're director of this or chairman of that or working something. Be a good chairman, be a good director, be whatever you're doing. I may be wrong. But that is, I'm just telling you my own conviction. Now, I got those tracts there, so please take some and use them because they will be, this is your means of keep occupying yourself until He comes. You have been in my class for so long, you must employ yourself in doing something useful. Are you winning anybody for Christ? Or are you just feeding yourself? Are you bringing anybody in the Lord? So that when you go to heaven, then you say, you gave me a track, you know. And that's fucked up. And I became a Christian. I brought my family to the Lord. And so on. You don't know the multiplier effect of winning somebody for Christ. That would be delightful. Okay, enough of this. Let us pray before we go. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us this good time to study Priscilla and Aquila. Or, as your servants have put it, Aquila and Priscilla, just to be fair, and we know why. So, we learn from them how it is to serve you together as husband and wife, or as members of a small group, helping one another to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Will you continue to do that, Lord? Help us to grow and to prosper in all things spiritual, not only in our work and our ministry and our profession. And bless, Lord, our professions, we pray, so that we can be as good as we can be, and so give a good witness to you. And now, Lord, part us for another week, but we are never far from each other in our prayers, in our fellowship through the Spirit. And bless, Lord, the week ahead of us, and protect us, each of us, individually and in our families. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.